Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, June 3rd, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr., and joining me is Married to the Games, Gabe Patillo. Gabe, thank you so much for joining me, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, bruv. Appreciate
it. It's awesome to have you back. Of course, we had you in February as like kind of a random guest slot. You were in town. I hit you up and you're like, and I was like, hey, just come on the show. And you came through and it was a great time. And I got to say, like, the response to having you on the show earlier in the year has been incredible. Like, people love you. Like, everybody loves you. And so it's awesome, awesome, awesome to have you back.
Well, I appreciate the text. When you texted me the other day, I was like, oh, yeah, you move around stuff to do that. You know what I'm
saying? Oh, yeah.
Especially for what's going on this week.
Exactly. And I actually want to start with that. This is a question I've been asking everybody who's been on this week. Because, of course, this week, Kinda Funny has been having Black creators guests on Kinda Funny Games Daily in an effort to get Black voices out there and get Black voices heard on shows, especially Black content creators, because Lord knows we need to be heard more. A question I've been asking everybody, and the question I want to ask you is, how have you been this last week? How's the last week been for you?
You know, that's a loaded question. You know, it's interesting. Yeah. So for me personally, it's been a roller coaster, if I'm being completely honest. And I mean, I feel like I've gone from like sad to numb to frustrated. And then like, I feel like I've fallen these last couple of days on hopeful almost, which is weird. Mm-hmm. So I live in the South. And so racism is nothing new to us down here. I'm in an interracial marriage. I've got three interracial babies. And so conversations around our house are mainly this. And then for the guy I work for on my regular job, his name's Toby Mack, and his whole thing has been about diversity, his whole career. And so this is probably 70% of what I talk about just on the regular. And so what was interesting this last week was, obviously, you see all these deaths that have happened this year, and it saddens you, right? And then you see the protesting happen and you're like, okay. And then like my wife, especially, she felt like she was getting guilted by other people. Like, if you don't say something, you're part of the problem. She's like, well, you know, and she felt like she was getting guilted and this and the other. And that made me frustrated because I was like, what are y'all just getting here? Like, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? That was the frustrated part of me kind of going on.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, as it goes and you're watching more and more people, I remember hearing you talk about like seeing the Kinda Funny best friends like come together and donate and stuff like that. And you start feeling like really hopeful for the whole situation. You're like, wait a second. Kind of like this COVID and coronavirus thing has really sat us down and made us look in the mirror a little longer than I think we usually do during our busy in America lives. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I feel like I've run the gamut.
That's been such an interesting thing about this conversation, because I'm totally with you as far as the roller coaster it's been, and kind of feeling the hopeful side of it as far as seeing people on social media actually speak out and seeing people donate, people rise to the cause. But at the same time, right, like you mentioned, like in this moment, right, seeing people guilted into saying something. And it's one of those things where I'm with you as far as like, this conversation is a conversation that's been ongoing my whole life because as people who are watching the video version of this show probably understand and know, I'm Black, right? Like, this isn't like a new thing. This isn't like a crazy thing. Mm-hmm. And so like, I'm all for people being outspoken. And I think it is a requirement as a human being that you be outspoken about injustice and things like this.
But it's also
like one of those things where I'm like, in the moment, I don't necessarily guilt people for like, as far as like speaking out right now, because if anything, I want you to be speaking out at all times. Like, I don't want this to be a week-long thing for you, right? I don't want companies to be speaking out just this week and then be silent for the rest of their careers, right? Like, that's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, and I've been talking to my buddies and, you know, just, you know, as a leader of my own podcast, I feel like, is like, okay, so how do we approach this thing? And somebody said to me the other day, because I was getting really frustrated, and, you know, I kind of like went to Twitter and I was like, we at Married to the Games, delete.
Yeah.
You know, the fellas here at Married to the Games, and I was getting really frustrated about like coming up with a statement, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I was talking to a buddy about it, and he was like, well, I think what's happening is we get so wrapped up in making a point that we forget that we need to be trying to make a difference. So sometimes like, you know, if you do whatever your thing is that you're like just do in the moment, sometimes it makes a great point. But how do we get locked up with each other and try to make a difference in the long haul? Because this is not a sprint. This is a marathon if we want something to actually change more than just like this week, is like what you're saying.
Exactly. Gabe, before we continue the show, talk about Married to the Games, because I know you talked about it when you were here the original time, and I know there are people who are listening to this episode who probably didn't listen to that episode. Yeah. Married to the Games, the kids, wives, 9 to 5s, tell us about it.
Yeah, baby. It's a podcast we started about 7.5 years ago, which is crazy. We just celebrated our 400th episode a couple weeks ago.
And, congratulations.
Thank you, buddy. And so
you guys didn't get to do that live, did you?
No.
No,
we've been calling it Voldemort on the just to keep away from like everybody's hard coronavirus and COVID-19 so much. We start calling it Voldemort. So because of Voldemort, we didn't get to have every 100 episodes. We have a live get together, and we had a theater booked and all this stuff, and people already bought tickets and bought plane flights from, you know, all around the country. You guys know how it is. And yeah, we didn't get to do it, man. So we're so disappointed, but we're hoping to do something later in the year when things, you know, feel a little better. So Married to the Games, man, we're four guys all married. Two of us have kids. And like you said, the tagline is kids, wives, and 9 to 5s, but we're still married to the game. So a lot like you guys, we're tackling the news and everything like that. And we just want a place where like other husbands and wives could come and feel like, oh, this ain't just for kids. There's other grown folks out there playing video games, talking about, you know, what they love, what they don't love. And we just try to come at it from a super positive aspect. We're not trying to tear anybody down. Super family friendly, so you know you can listen in the car with your grandma and your kids and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and so yeah, man, Married to the Games, baby, we're trying to do it.
Yeah, and I can absolutely say that Married to the Games is the most positive yet most genuine podcast that I listen to.
Oh,
right, like you guys are absolutely out there killing it. I know I've said this multiple times on Kind of Funny before, but I'll repeat it, that like, you know, you guys are one of the original podcasts I started listening to, like in that wave of when I first discovered Beyond and GameScoop and Giant Bombcast. Mm-hmm. You guys came right after that, right? And I got hooked on listening to you guys because of how positive and because of how good you guys are at doing this, at speaking, being part of the conversation. And so shout out to y'all. Highly recommend people check out Married to the Games. People can, of course, find you guys on YouTube or on podcast services, all that stuff. How can people support you also if they wanted to support Married to the Games?
I mean, yeah, we've got a Patreon out there, man. Patreon.com/MTTG. And if you want to throw a dollar in the tip jar, we'd greatly appreciate it. So, and I got to say to you too, man, you've been a part of the community for a long time, homie. And we feel like, you know, uncles over here Married to the Games watching freaking Blessing do his thing. So every time we see your face pop up, it's so good to watch you grow you know, doing the OK Beast thing and then being here, man, it's freaking dope. And then seeing you be able to host a week like this. How dope is that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Thanks,
like,
man.
How dope is that? And so congratulations on all the success.
I appreciate that, Gabe. But enough about that. Let's talk about Nintendo speaking out, Sega getting into comedy, and more. And because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping, the Kind of Funny Showcase is back, but it's called the Gorilla Collective. As you know, we've teamed up with our friends at the Media Indie Exchange to do a 3-day showcase featuring nearly 90 games. It all kicks off this Saturday at 10 a.m. Pacific time on twitch.tv/Gorilla Collective. And also I'm adding this to housekeeping as I go, because I didn't have this written down in the doc, but I want to shout out the Kind of Funny podcast over on youtube.com/kindoffunny. It's available now and on your podcast services of choice. Kind of Funny podcast, we recorded this yesterday and it's up today. It's me, Andy, Tim, Greg, Nick, and we talk all about what's been going on the past week. I shared it on Twitter, and it's one of those things where usually the Kind of Funny podcast is more comedy than anything. Usually it's more laid back, upbeat conversation. This is one of those ones where we're talking about things that need to be talked about. And so go over there, listen to it, and yeah, have a good time, enjoy it, learn something.
There you go.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Muhammad, Momo, Connor Nolan, not Christopher Nolan, and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Brooklinen, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have four stories today.
Baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one, Sega announces the Game Gear Micro. I'm pulling this from Sam Bifford at The Verge. Sega has now revealed full details of its just-announced Game Gear Micro portable console. It turns out that the four color variants are different systems, each with four different games preloaded, no doubt in an attempt to drive collectors to buy them all. And before I even continue, Gabe, have you been keeping up with all this? Have you seen this?
Yeah, I saw that. Hey, here's the problem. These big old hands, Bishop, these big old hands.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
It's interesting. Kevin, in the doc, I have it highlighted. If you can pull up the picture I have there. But to continue with the article, right? Here's what you get.
This can't be real, right?
It's real. It's absolutely real.
That's the first thing I thought.
Kevin has it pulled up here, right? It's the Sega Mini, and it's I have the measurements here in the article, right? The hardware itself is 80 millimeters by 43 millimeters by 20 millimeters with a 1.15 inch display. And there's a single mono speaker and a headphone jack. It is tiny, right? It fits in your thumbs essentially, and it's supposed to be akin to the NES Classic or the SNES Classic or the PlayStation Classic. But this is a classic for the Sega Game Gear, and it's ridiculously tiny.
It is so small. I was like, what? I wonder if they were like, oh, this would be hilarious, or this is what people really want, or we want it not to like take up too much room in your pocket. Like, I was trying to, even the design, because the Game Gear was always so bulky. So I didn't know if it was just like a play off that. Like, you know, when you hold the Game Gear, you felt like you were holding a tissue box. You know what I'm saying? You're like, oh yeah, let me play this game on this huge tissue box. And so it was like, this is like the exact opposite. 1.15 inch screen.
Yep. Wild. That's crazy. Did you play the Game Gear back in the day?
Yes. Yeah.
Is this something that you want? Like, are you looking forward to like a reiteration of the Game Gear? And are you fine with what we're getting here?
Nah, man. I would have been asking for this, but what I do like is I like the colors.
Yep.
I don't love that it's broken down into four games each. I would have liked it to be on all the colors.
So to break it down more for people, right? So there's four different color models. The four different color models each come with four games. The black model comes with Sonic the Hedgehog, Puyo Puyo 2, Outrun, and Royal Stone. The blue variant comes with Sonic Chaos, Gunstar Heroes, Sylvian Tale, and Baku Baku Animal. The yellow Game Gear Micro has Shining Force Gaiden, Inside, Jashin no Kunihei.
Good job, buddy.
I hope I'm doing my best. Shining Force, the Sword of Hajia, Shining Force Gaiden, Final Conflict, and then Nazo Puyo, Aruru, Noru. That's the best I can do, and I think I nailed it.
You're doing great.
The red version is preloaded with Revelations, the Demon Slayer, Megami Tensei, Gaiden, Last Bible Special, the GG Shinobi, and Columns. And also, like, Megami Tensei Gaiden, the Last Bible Special, sounds like a video game generated name. Like, it sounds like an AI came up with a PS1 title. Like, to what you're saying, right? Like, the broken up nature of it is fairly interesting. It's kind of weird,
My kids are all into the buy this blind bag and open it up and collect this, that, and the other. So I get that they're like, they want people to just rush out and buy all four right off the gate, you know, put them up on the shelf and you'll have all the colors going on, which I do like that. You know what I'm saying? But it's forced. And so I don't love that part. I like if they would have just put out four and you could go buy all four and they had all, 16 games or whatever. Hey, you know, it's it's Sega, you know what I'm saying? And so this is not to not be expected.
Yeah, the article continues here, right, to give a little bit more context too, right? It charges over USB, but you can also run it on two AAA batteries, which I don't know who's still buying AAA batteries, but I'm sure I'm.
Hey, for the controllers, for the remotes.
I'm sure if you're in the market for this, you might also be down to get the AAA batteries for the sake of old school.
I'm just surprised that AAA batteries fit in this thing. Like, it looks so small that that's also AAA true. Batteries.
Plus, what do you got against batteries? What the fuck's going on here? I got AAA, I got some C's, I got D's.
Just make everything rechargeable. Look, like, they're making this rechargeable too good, but just make everything rechargeable.
I got this little guy. You remember this one?
Why?
Well, I don't know. I needed it for something.
For what?
I can't remember now, but I needed it. It's a 9-volt. All right? Yeah.
Literally, maybe your smoke alarm.
Yeah, there you go. Sure. Smoke alarm. Well, that's not true. My smoke alarm takes double A's.
The only thing
I'm just saying, batteries are great.
only thing that I have in my room, the only thing that I own that'll take those types of batteries, like the AA batteries, is my Xbox controller. Like, that's the thing. That's the only thing that's left. That's like the only thing that's like holding on for dear hope of like, no, this is the future. AA batteries. To continue on even more, right? The article says here, you may be wondering how exactly you're meant to play games on a 1.15-inch display, which makes the Game Boy Micro's 2-inch panel sound huge by comparison. Well, if you're willing to drop $250 on a pack of all four consoles, Sega is including a mini version of its big window magnifying glass accessory, which Kevin had up earlier. But yeah, that big thing that you attach, not even big, I guess it's small by whatever, the thing that you attach to the smaller console is going to magnify the games for you, which makes the whole thing sound like a joke. But
and
also,
that's
like
what they had back then,
kind of quirky.
You know what I'm saying? Back then they had the big, you know, and I feel like the Game Boy had one with a light on it and everything like that would light up the screen and magnify the screen. And so,
which was awesome.
It's on brand.
It was awesome. It ate your battery, but it was awesome. I remember having you would have to like
you plugged it in for the Game Boy one.
For the Game Boy one, I just remember being in the back of my mom's car and we'd be driving down the highway. And it'd be one of those things where, like, the issue was if you wanted to play your Game Boy at nighttime while driving in the back seat, you would have to, like, wait for the for like the lamppost, like, wait for your car to pass the lamppost.
The street
to see
light.
What you're doing. Yeah, the street light. Yeah, to see what you're doing in Pokemon Blue. And that, that like, lit up magnifying glass for the Game Boy Color changed up the whole game. Right, like it changed things. Bless. That was a revolution. What else?
I had a grip, the one that I had that had batteries in it that were rechargeable.
Really, that's awesome.
Amazing.
That's sick. Dang. That is amazing.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how this takes in the wild. You know what I mean? I don't think it's gonna be like the NES Classic or the SNES Classic where it's like you can't get them anywhere. I think you'll be able to find them, but I'm interested to see how it attaches.
Are you tempted at all to purchase one?
No.
I kind of want to get the Sonic one a little bit, just a little bit.
I've got three kids, and so I can see me getting one for them to mess with. But like, my hands already cramp up on the Joy-Cons. You know what I'm saying? Like, and this looks smaller than the Joy-Cons. That's what it feels. It feels like a Joy-Con with a screen on it.
Yeah. Mark Heath writes in here to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, hi, yesterday I asked you guys about your thoughts on what Sega's revolutionary announcement could be, and I asked if you thought it could be a handheld to compete with the Switch. Please throw out that suggestion. Sega has clearly punked me with their Game Gear for Ants. Jokes aside, do you take this as a sign from Sega, reaffirming that they are not interested in entering the console war?
I mean, I don't think they're jumping back at consoles.
No.
Right. I mean, obviously. And to my understanding, this isn't really their big announcement either. And
is
so,
it not?
I heard no. For what I've read, it's their Fog Arcade thing or their new cloud based thing is supposed to be the announcement. I would have thought this would have been it.
At first glance, that's what I assumed. I've been seeing the Fog stuff go around, but I didn't look too much into it. But that would make sense if this isn't their big thing.
Yeah. So I'd be a little disappointed. But it's not like they gave us this big heads up and a countdown. You know what I'm saying? They're just like, hey, big news coming soon. And you're like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
If this was it, that'd be fine.
I have zero hope for Sega getting back into the console race. Like, we joked earlier in the week about the rumor circulating about how Microsoft is going to partner with Sega to release the Sega Series X in Japan that would actually be the Xbox Series X, which, again, sounds like something from 1980s. Like that sounds like a very old school method, but also at the same time sounds kind of awesome, but also at the same time sounds very ridiculous. I don't think there's any sort of like case for Sega jumping back into the console race at this point, right? Like, when you look at Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, the foothold there is strong, and even if you look at the companies that are trying to break in, like Google with Stadia, or even Amazon, like you're looking at the biggest of the biggest tech companies that are trying to break in, and even they're having difficulty, right? Like Google is having difficulty with Stadia, and Sega as a video games company, like, of course, like, has, I guess, more experience in this specific field, but I think the other players just have too much power, foothold, and money.
I think Sega would have to depend strictly on nostalgia. You know what I'm saying? For them to sell a console that played other games, it would have to be strictly off nostalgia alone. They can't be like, hey, we have a 4K 60 frame per second thing going on too. It would be like, okay, I know, And I'm a Sega fan. I bought all that Dreamcast, Saturn, you know what I'm saying? All that stuff back then. I loved Sega, but I wouldn't want him to do it.
I agree too. And I think Sega is seeing a lot of success now with video games in general, as far as being a third party company, right? Like you look at Yakuza, you look at the success with that, and it's like, all right, cool. And you look at the other Sega properties that are doing well right now. Even Sonic, that has had hits and misses, mostly misses. If you look at modern Sonic, I mean, Sonic as a brand is still doing well, right? Like that's exactly Sonic movie did,
biggest video game movie ever, well. Right?
Yeah, and so like they're not hurting, and like I don't think a pivot to trying to break into hardware in an actual like bigger way, aside from cute things like this, I don't think that's on the table whatsoever for Sega.
Me too.
Story number two. Nintendo is reportedly double matching employee donations to anti-racism causes. This is from Andy Robinson at Video Games Chronicle. The games industry has shown overwhelming support for the Black Lives Matter movement this week, with many companies pledging to donate large sums to Black causes in a mark of support. Both PlayStation and Microsoft offered strongly worded support for the anti-racism protests, which have taken place across the world this week following the death of African-American George Floyd while in police custody. Nintendo of America released the following statement via Twitter this morning, and I'm pulling this from their Twitter, and I'm reading it verbatim. It's a screenshot that says this. Nintendo shares the pain felt in the United States after the tragic death of George Floyd, and we stand with the Black community and all those who recognize our shared humanity and fundamental belief in equity and justice. We reject bias, exclusion, oppression, and the violence that leads to these completely unnecessary deaths. We are committed to fostering equity, inclusion, and diversity in all aspects of our business and the work we do. The article continues, according to a now deleted tweet by a Nintendo employee, and I should also point out that this article is from yesterday, and the Nintendo portion is an updated thing from today. And so like all this information I'm about to read is from yesterday. And so I things might have updated since then as far as like these other things. But to continue, according to a now deleted tweet by a Nintendo employee, behind the scenes, the organization has been double matching donations from employees to related causes, which lines up with its corporate policy for charitable donations. Nintendo also notably did not publish any content on its Western social channels on Tuesday, which aligns with the Blackout Tuesday movement adopted by many other companies and content creators. Several key Nintendo employees, including marketing veteran Bill Trennan, have also publicly shown their support for the U.S. protests. Gabe, this is a thing that came up yesterday as a talking point between me and Khalif Adams of Spawn on Me, because there was a question. Somebody wrote in and they asked, like, hey, you look around and you see PlayStation has said something, Microsoft has said something, and all these different companies have said something. Nintendo has been noticeably silent in all this, to which I think me and Khalif had a really good conversation about it. And Khalif pointing out that, like, yeah, like silence is something that, you know, we don't necessarily have to like attack them for being silent, but it can be something that we remember, you know, going on in the future. Like, that's something that we'll recall as far as those that speak out and those that don't, right? And I very much come at it also from the stance of, like, as far as companies speaking out and brands speaking out, I don't really care about what Nintendo has to say about violence towards Black people and about injustice and all these things, unless there's action to it, unless there's actual practical things that are happening, or action that they're taking to make things right or make things better. And so, as far as this statement, right, like it's a good statement. I'm glad they're saying something. The double matching as far as donations with employees, I think is good action that I'm glad that they're doing. Right, it's one of those things where there's a Drake quote, and it's gonna be cheesy as I say it, but there's a Drake quote that has nothing to do with this topic, but I kind of like the spirit of it in general as far as this, right, where he says, "Never late than better, but never late is better." Right, like, as far as how this goes, right, like, better late than never, but also like, it took y'all some time to get here. But I'm glad. I'm glad that they're here, though.
Yeah, isn't that interesting that a day is some time nowadays? Yeah. Like in the speed of the internet, and it's one of those things too that I struggle with, because I totally agree with what you're saying. Right, I haven't been able to. Am I supposed to make a list and then make sure like Ubisoft said something, and make sure that like Guerrilla said something, and you know what I'm saying? And so sometimes like we can get caught up in the like, why they didn't, you know? And so for Nintendo, being a company not based from here, I love that they said something, of course. And the double matching is really a bigger deal to me, but it's hard because say the double matching started 4 days ago. Like, we don't know when that started. So is it like, just because they haven't shown us that they're doing something doesn't mean that they're not doing something?
Yeah.
Does that make
sense?
I'm
with you.
And
no,
so I wouldn't want to jump on somebody's case for not doing something or saying something, because you actually don't know. But I think it's always good for a big company like Nintendo or, I don't know, freaking Walmart and Sony and these guys to say something.
Yes. Yeah. And that's why, like, it's been an interesting thing to follow, specifically with the Nintendo side of it, because, yeah, you mentioned, mm-hmm. like, they are, like, an international company, right? Specifically Japanese company. Yeah. More Japanese than, like, when you look at Sony as a company.
And,
yeah.
Microsoft.
And, like,
yeah.
Microsoft, who's, like, not at all a Japanese company. But mm-hmm. you... In a way, it's understandable why Microsoft and Sony speak up before Nintendo, and they're at it quicker. But like, Nintendo of America does exist. These protests at this point are international, right? Like, there are videos of people in the UK, in other countries speaking up,
which is amazing, and,
like, chanting Black Lives Matter, right? And in the UK's case, right, the video was Black Lives Matter, which is like the dopest thing ever.
Yeah, I know. So sick.
But yeah, like, I'm glad to see multiple now international organizations speak up and say something. And yeah, like, I'll leave it at that.
And why don't we, you know, and as a people, we could look at it like they want to make sure they say the right thing, instead of like, maybe if they would have rushed out the gate and let the first person that runs their social media say something, it might have been off-putting. You know what I'm saying? So maybe they were being careful in their approach. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Like, you know, maybe a little credit could be given in that direction, especially since they're not a company from around here.
For sure. Speaking of all these protests going on and video game companies responding to them, story number three, Cyberpunk 2077's Night City Wire event has been delayed. This is from Stephanie Nunley, and I did not take down the website, and so I'm typing her name into Google to see if VG247. Yeah. I believe this is VG247, Stephanie Nunley, who writes, "The new look at Cyberpunk 2077 has been delayed to June 25th. CD Projekt Red announced today it has moved," and this is yesterday, right after the show, actually. "CD Projekt Red announced it has moved its Cyberpunk 2077 stream to June 25th after originally being planned for June 11th. The delay was noted via the game's official Twitter account." This is the tweet right here, right? This is from @Cyberpunk, Cyberpunk Game. "We decided to move Night City Wire to June 25th. We still look forward to sharing new information about Cyberpunk 2077, but more important discussions are happening right now, and we want them to be heard. We wholeheartedly stand against racism, intolerance, and violence. Black Lives Matter." The article continues, "During the stream, we expect a new look at gameplay and possibly the developers' plans for DLC, which, according to the company's last call to investors, will be similar in scope to what was released for The Witcher 3. The company said during the call, add-ons will be revealed ahead of the game's launch. We'll have to wait and see what CD Projekt Red has in store for us toward the end of the month." Gabe.
Yeah. Yes.
I assume you're excited for Cyberpunk.
I mean, that game looks incredible. I love The Witcher 3. Now, I played the mess out of it, and I got so sidetracked with Gwent, I barely could play the rest of the game. That little card game that they had in it.
That was me too. I pretty much played The Witcher 3 like it was like a Duelist Kingdom simulator, which is a Yu-Gi-Oh reference. But like, legit, I probably played more Gwent in The Witcher 3 than I played the actual game.
Than anything else, yes. And so, yeah, I'm super excited for Cyberpunk. And I think that everybody's taken, you know, a page out of the same book here. You know, Sony did this with, obviously, tomorrow. They were going to do the PS5, you know, stuff, and they're not doing that now. And so, yeah, I think this is the right decision to make, I think, especially just culturally. But yeah, I can't wait to see more of this game. This is one of those games that I'll just like ingest until it comes out, which is different from The Last of Us. I will not watch anything on Last of Us Part 2, but I will take in everything that Cyberpunk's got for me right now.
So for clarity, right? You're not currently playing The Last of Us Part 2. You don't have the game yet.
No,
I know reviewers and stuff got it. Where are you in like the game of the year lead up, right? Because we've gotten Final Fantasy VII Remake, we've gotten Doom Eternal, we've gotten some incredible games, we got an Animal Crossing, right? And on the horizon, we have The Last of Us Part 2 coming out. We have Halo Infinite and Cyberpunk 2077. What is it like? Where's your head at as far as like where you think things are going to land for you specifically by the end of the year?
Man, I can't. Oof, it's hard, man. I mean, you know, me and you got on the track. You know what I'm saying?
I totally meant to reference that at the top of the show. But like, along with being on Kind of Funny Games Daily earlier in the year, you recently made an appearance on PS I Love You XOXO with our Singing to Shuhei song to end the show, Avalanche, which had both me and you rapping on it, rapping about Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Right. And so you got to remember, Final Fantasy VII Remake for y'all boy was what I thought was never going to happen. And it's here. And so that was going to be a hard one to beat just from a nostalgia and how bad I wanted it part of the thing.
Yep.
But Last of Us 2, man, whew, the storytelling they do over there at Naughty Dog is ridiculoso. And so, I mean, it's going to be right up there for me. I don't know. It's going to be one of those, you know, this is going to be 2018 all over again. You know what I'm saying? 2018 was like, is it God of War? Is it Spider-Man? Is it, you know, some of these other games that came? There was so many good games. And so I'm down for the struggle. I'm down for games are so good. It's hard to call which one's game of the year. So,
yeah, we were talking about this actually before we hit play on the show, before we started recording, is that like, I've been replaying The Last of Us as a prepper for The Last of Us Part 2. And we're actually recording our The Last of Us 1 spoiler cast later today for Kind of Funny Games Cast, which you can tune in later on today if you're on Patreon Live. But you can catch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. What's up, Kevin?
Should have played it last week, huh?
Oh yeah. Kevin, why haven't you played The Last of Us?
I don't know. I have it too. I think it's downloaded.
Play it. It's great. Fuck. Like it's a great game.
Yeah. Just play the beginning. Just play the first like 45 minutes.
Honestly, like even play the first 15 minutes and see how you feel about it, Kevin. Because if you're not hooked after the first 15 minutes, I don't know. I'm sure I'll love it. Oh yeah. I'm just saying, do yourself a favor. I mean, there are people who aren't like too into it, but like Kevin, I think it's for you. I think you specifically will love it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we were talking about it earlier today, and because I've been replaying it for the spoiler cast and to get prep for The Last of Us Part 2, I reached a point where I got halfway through the game, and because this week has been so busy and I've had so many things going on, I've not been able to like take the time.
What do you mean? You've got plenty of time on your hands.
Things have been going on. You know, I've not necessarily have gotten to finish the game the way I wanted to, as far as like the replay has gone. And so I ended up watching the cutscenes, and I watched the winter chapter last night. I'm about to finish watching the cutscenes again. Not again, but I'm going to finish the rest of the game today as far as watching the cutscenes, just so I can get caught up for the spoiler cast. But like going back to it and one replaying it, but now like re-experiencing that winter chapter.
Doggone it.
Dear Lord. Like, I forgot how good that chapter was. And it's been one of those things where as I've been replaying it, I'm like, all right, like this is definitely like a 2013 game in some ways. I'm starting to see ways in which like Last of Us started to age, and like, you know, I some parts of it aren't as amazing as I remember, but like it's still an incredible game. And re-experiencing that winter chapter was the thing that made me go like, oh yeah, like they did this. Like they totally knocked this one out of the park.
You know, but the little things that always jumped out to me because it was 2013 and because I hadn't seen a lot of those things yet is like when they would be crouched and walking and Ellie would be right next to Joel and you see him put his hand on the wall as they like walk past. I was like, it's just those little touches that you're like,
yeah,
this is 2013, but this is the future as well. Like games will look at this game and be like, what did they do? Yeah, we need to make sure we do that. Make sure they do that. You know what I'm saying? I feel like they helped invigorate the like kind of the dual thing of like, you know, and then we saw it in God of War with Kratos and his son, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You kind of saw that, like, you know, not buddy cop, but you know what I'm saying? That like dual people, but you only play one, but the other one's helping kind of.
Companionship kind of thing. Yeah.
Yes.
A game. Story number four, our last news story of today, I believe. Pokemon Sword and Shield Isle of Armor gets new details. This is from Jordan Allman at IGN. Before I even get to the story, Gabe, are you a Pokemon person at all?
No. No. Are your kids into Pokemon at all? Yes, my kids love Pokemon.
All right. This is a trend this week, because Paris, who was on the show on Monday, this Pokemon stuff came up with him too, and he was like, my kids love it. It's not necessarily my whole jam, but my kids love it.
Yeah, it missed me. It missed me.
To get into the story, though, the Pokemon Company has revealed a new trailer for the entire expansion pass, giving us a better look at the new features coming to the game with the two DLC packs, the Isle of Armor and the Crown Tundra. aside from the release date, June 17th, we're also introduced to two new Pokemon from, and I don't know how to pronounce this, so I'm going to butcher it either way. It's either Reggie or Regi or Reggie. It's R-E-G-I. I'm going to say Reggie for the sake of this article.
Just because of Fiza May, I want it to be Reggie. Because I love me some Reggie Fiza May.
You know what? Let's
stick with Reggie.
I'm going to stick with Reggie for that sake. yeah. But yeah, two new Pokemon from the Reggie family.
I love that. I love it.
From the Reggie Fiza May family. Reggie Leckie. I'm going to say Reggie Leckie, which is an electric type, and Reggie Drago, a dragon type. We're also introduced to Galarian Slowbro, a poison slash psychic type, with a new move, Shell Sidearm, which is unique to its form. We also learn more about the Galarian forms of the original legendary birds that were introduced to earlier this year. Galarian Articuno is psychic slash flying. Galarian Zapdos is fighting slash flying. And Galarian Moltres is dark slash flying. The Isle of Armor will bring Gigantamax forms of all three final evolution starter Pokemon, Rillaboom, Cinderace, and Inteleon, adding powerful new G-Max moves to their skill set. You can check out the new Gigantamax forms in our Pokemon Sword and Shield wiki. The Isle of Armor will also add in Pokemon that did not appear in the main game, such as Azurill and Chansey. A series of new Pokemon will also be brought to the game across the expansion pass, including new legendaries such as Kubfu, Urshifu, and Calyrex. Gabe, how many of those words did you understand?
I was about to say, all these stories, you chose the hardest words for all the stories today.
Oh, yeah.
It feels like.
You know,
so for me, I started my kids on that, what was it called? It was the free game on Switch that was like, and everybody was like cubed.
Oh, like, Pokemon Quest, I believe.
Yeah, something like that. And so we played the mess out of that. I'm talking about every day. And so we're collecting Pokemon and fighting against Pokemon. And then they got into the show. And so they've watched like the whole series of the first show. They love it. And I never really got into the games, but it's been really fun kind of being an outlier and understanding some Pokemon lingo just from the show and from playing Pokemon Quest.
Have you gotten into Pokemon Go at all? Because I know that's like a game that a lot of families play together because it has that explorability kind of element to it.
When it first came out, I was big into it and I loved it because it felt like the whole world was playing it. And so just being involved in the Pokemon Go thing and seeing people walk around just kind of staring down at their phones and walking into light posts and stuff like that was the best. I loved Pokemon Go.
I saw a tweet somewhere that said Animal Crossing, the Animal Crossing movement during COVID-19 and lockdown, everybody staying at home. The Animal Crossing movement is like this year's version of that Pokemon Go summer where everybody was outside, like the opposite of that, which I think is the funniest thing ever. Cause I do remember vividly Pokemon Go coming out and it feeling like it was changing the world. I remember going to the park that week and looking around being like, yo, everybody is out. Everybody is like all about this thing. It's wild.
Yes. Oh, it's so crazy. I loved it. You know, just as somebody who loves games, I love that everybody was playing a game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, for sure. As far as this DLC, the main thing that kind of sticks out to me, and I'm gonna get like a tiny bit nerdy, is the Galarian Zapdos being a fighting slash flying type. That sounds dope, right? As somebody who from the original games, like Zapdos is probably my favorite legendary Pokemon just because I love the design. Like Zapdos looks incredible. And so if you're telling me that a Galarian version of Zapdos is gonna be a fighting type, like instead of an electric type, like fighting type Pokemon might also be my favorite type of Pokemon, even though I don't use them often because I feel like they're not as useful as I'd like them to be in a lot of situations. Sure. I do love them stylistically. Like Hitmonlee is like one of my favorite Pokemon ever. Also,
totally.
And so like a fighting type as for Zapdos sounds pretty dope to me, and like all this stuff like sounds like good additions as far as how Pokemon is concerned, right? Like Pokemon is as a game that, when you look at Pokemon post-launch content, that usually comes in the form of a new game, right? Like that usually comes in the form of, you look at Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire, and then you got Emerald as like the post-launch content. Same with quite a few of the Pokemon generations. Seeing them actually tackle DLC packs and DLC expansions like this, and seeing the fact that there's more to come later in the year, along with this one coming June 17th, I think is really cool. I'm very curious to see if they're able to nail it, because when it comes to Nintendo, I don't necessarily have the utmost faith with them when it comes to post-launch content. But I'm hoping that this isn't the case, like we've seen in a few of their other games.
Yeah, and you know, I feel like I've I'm not used to them even doing DLC. You know what I'm saying? But like, as we saw with Smash Ultimate and them doing the fighters packs and everything like that, you know, I think if you dip your toe in the water, yeah, you're not going to get it probably right every single time, but at least they're moving in the right direction.
Yeah. And Smash Ultimate, I think, is definitely an example of them doing it right. I think Animal Crossing, as far as what their roadmap is and them communicating their roadmap as far as what the updates and what the future of that game holds, I think that is pointing in the right direction, even though I know people didn't love the Easter event. And like, even like the stuff with Mario Maker, which I have like kind of a love-hate relationship, because the content itself, as far as the world maps and like adding in Link as a playable character and doing all those things, is awesome for Mario Maker. But
awesome.
The cadence of their Mario Maker updates is kind of where I was like, oh man, they could have done this better. As far as keeping that game alive, especially when you look at the original Mario Maker and how alive that game felt and how alive that game was, mainly through like audience and mainly through people playing it on Twitch, it felt like Mario Maker 2 was kind of underserved in that realm. But I'm hoping that this marks a continuing change, right? I'm hoping that this marks like a continuing evolution in terms of Nintendo games, because Smash Brothers nailed it. Animal Crossing seems to be nailing it, right? And these are both recent-ish games. I'm hoping to see Pokemon continue to nail it in that way.
Yeah, and I think I want all things Nintendo flagships to do well. You know what I'm saying? Because Nintendo is the Disney of the gaming world, right? And so like, when Disney nails it, I'm just happy for them because they're so good at putting out such great content. When Nintendo nails it, I love it because, yes, they're behind as far as power and FPS and this, that, and the other, but they just bring great, great content. So when they nail it, I love it.
Gabe, I'm very excited to see what the future of Nintendo and their post-launch content has in store. But that future is likely so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to mom and pop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Out today, we got Awesome P for Xbox One. Oh, Kevin is still going. He's still going. He's done now. Depth of Extinction for Xbox One. Enchantress for PC, and I'm hoping it's Enchantress because it might be misspelled on the Kotaku site that I pulled this from, but it says Enchartress, which sounds like an Uncharted spinoff. But I'm gonna go with Enchantress, but maybe Enchartress, depending on how that works out. For PC, Quest for Papa Reloaded for PC. Kevin, look up Quest for Papa Reloaded. I gotta know.
I gotta see it.
And then Faerio Shadowlands for PC. New dates: Circadian City is coming to Steam Early Access on July 24th. The Coma 2 Vicious Sisters arrives for PS4 and Nintendo Switch on June 19th. Master Mirror, the newest free expansion for Gwent the Witcher card game, is coming to PC, iOS, and Android on June 30th, 2020. Did you ever try out the actual Gwent game?
Oh yeah, I downloaded it on the PC, I downloaded it on my phone, downloaded it on the iPad.
Was it as good as it was in the Witcher 3 game? Because I never got around to trying it.
I don't think so. But there's so much more surrounding the Witcher 3 one. You know what I'm saying? Like, you had to go beat this thing and then beat this guy in this bar someplace. You know what I'm saying? So when you take that away, you know, you don't feel like you're earning it as much as you did when you played Witcher 3.
Yeah. Kevin has here Quest for Papa Reloaded. We're looking at it. It looks like a top-down... I don't know this is. Top-down cartoonish style.
Yeah, it's like...
might be a shooter? They call it?
Cell animated?
Oh, cell shaded.
Cell shaded
style. Like
that. You know, it's funny.
I mean,
that Sega,
it looks kind of cool.
With that Sega stuff, speaking of, when they were like, we got a huge announcement, I was like, ooh, come on, Jet Set Radio.
Oh, yeah, dude.
This kind of got the same, a similar.
This does have, some Jet Set Radio aesthetic to it. It looks like
the
a top down.
Greens.
Honestly, this looks like what it's trying to be is a top down Borderlands.
Yes.
Like, if you look at the style, you look at the shooting, you look at what's going on. The characters, like, this looks like a top down Borderlands. I'm glad we looked this up. This looks actually very interesting. I don't know if it's good, but it looks a little twin stick shooter. It looks pretty cool. Gear Club Unlimited 2 Tracks Edition is is available for the Nintendo Switch in North America on August 25th and in Europe on August 27th. And then announced on Twitter today, Bungie is revealing the next chapter of Destiny 2 on June 9th at 9 a.m. Pacific time. Gabe, are you a Destiny person at all?
I really was. I loved Destiny 1 and I liked Destiny 2, but I didn't play it near as much as Destiny 1, but I was in it to win it for sure.
Destiny is one of those games where when Destiny 2 came out, I was very into it that month. Like I was I was extremely into it. I did the campaign. I was doing all the content. Mm-hmm. I beat the Kallus dungeon, all that stuff, and I absolutely fell in love with it. And I just never came back after that first month. Like I played that month and just never came back.
I feel like that happened with a lot of people. Like the progression was almost too fast. Like people were complaining about the grinding of one, and it feels like they were like, "Oh, you don't want to grind? Okay, let's do it like this." And you're like, "Oh, whoa, that's way too easy now."
Yeah. Yeah, and that was the thing. I think at a certain point, I was like, well, I've done what feels like is everything that matters. And then by the time like the new substantial content came out, I was already on to the next one. I was already on to the next game.
Crazy.
And I tried to return to it recently with like the new the big expansion that came out after Bungie went independent, and they like did the whole free version of Destiny. Mm-hmm. And they did the whole revamp where you could like do your cross save. I believe it's cross save. Either way, I got my Xbox data onto my PS4 data. That's what counts. Right. I was able to do that. And I jumped in with that big revamp and I started playing it. And it was just one of those things where I was like, this seems like a lot. Like this seems like such an investment. And I just don't know if I have the time and energy to play a game that feels so huge, even though I absolutely love it. Like even though like the game is great, like I absolutely love Destiny 2.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I was so hyped for that. Oh my gosh.
What is there anything they could announce during this June 9th announcement that'll pull you back in?
No. 2020, from a gaming standpoint, I feel like we have so much to look forward to. It'd be really hard to go back to Destiny 2 for me at this point.
Now it is time for reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Brooke Lennon. Did you know that making small changes to your everyday life can lead to huge positive changes to your lifestyle? The right towel turns a bathroom into a spa. The right loungewear turns function into luxury. The right bedding turns a bed into a retreat. You know Brooke Lennon as the internet's favorite sheets, but they're also home to bedding, loungewear, towels, and more with over 50,000 five-star reviews and counting. Kind of funny loves Brooke Lennon, their luxury products at a low price. And Tim Geddes, as you know, Tim Geddes, the homie, loves that he can get the right colors to match his room. He also says that they're comfortable and you can always trust Tim Geddes. Brooke Lennon was the first direct-to-consumer bedding company. They work directly with manufacturers and directly with consumers. No middlemen, just a great product and service. All luxury products without the luxury markup, brooklinen.com is the perfect place to start making small changes that make big differences. Brooklinen is so confident in their products that all their sheets, comforters, loungewear, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. Go on, make yourself comfortable. Get 10% off with your first order and free shipping when you use the promo code GAMES only at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen, everything you need to live your most comfortable life.
Ooh.
Gabe.
Yeah.
Gondor's Condor writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, "Greetings, kind of funny. We are now at the point in these protests where companies are putting out official statements on this country's systemic racism. Are there any companies who especially feel knocked it out of the park? And on the other end, do you feel any company especially whiffed? Thanks for all you do. Hashtag Black Lives Matter." Gabe, it's been interesting seeing all the different companies put out statements. I'm gonna be honest, I didn't read most of them. For the most part, I'm like, I'm glad to see you're with the cause, but it's not necessarily my job to like go and read every single company statement. That said, there's one statement I do want to highlight within the games industry that I really like. It's from Humble Bundle, and this is what I'm talking about when I've talked around the podcast this week. That statements are kind of easy, you know, as far as saying like racism is bad. Cool, we all agree, right? Like, cops shouldn't murder people. We all agree, right? Like, there are easy statements to say. For me, what matters is action. I want to point to the Humble Bundle statement here because I think this pretty much signifies what I mean, right? Humble Bundle at Humble on Twitter released this statement at 10 a.m. yesterday, it looks like. They said this: "We stand in solidarity to condemn racism and violence against the Black community. Humble believes in empowering and uniting Black communities, or uniting communities, through gaming, and will leverage our platform to help achieve racial equity everywhere. Today, we are announcing a $1 million fund dedicated to helping publish games by Black developers. We will have more updates about the fund and other ways we are actively supporting organizations soon. In the meantime, the Humble community has always supported worthwhile causes in times of need, so please consider donating to the NAACP Legal Defense Fund or Race Forward, a hashtag Black Lives Matter. And that's what I'm talking about, right? As far as like doing something practical, and as far as doing something in your neighborhood, right? Like Humble Bundle is a company that is like involved with video games, and they're a big company. And so mm-hmm. the fact that they're able to allocate this money to making the video game space a better space for all of us, right? But like especially for Black folks who are seeing greater disparities than others, like I think this is a good move. And for me, this is the statement that I point to is one that I really liked. Also, that Ben and Jerry's statement was incredible, and we talked about that on a Play podcast that you should listen to.
That's what I was gonna say. I was like, Ben and Jerry's, it was like they teed it up, boy. They would pow, knock that thing out of the park. I love, you know, on BenandJerry's.com, you can go to it and check it out. You know, we must dismantle white supremacy and says silence is not an option. And they laid it out, and I thought their statement, and I don't know if it's because I thought their statement was so good or it was just so unexpected for me that Ben and Jerry's, you know, freaking brought the pain on that.
I think it's the fact that they said literally all the right things, right? And coming at it, and part of it is that it comes from Ben and Jerry's. And like, if you look up Ben and Jerry's, they do have a history of being outspoken and like actually like being involved in cases like this. But like the statement itself is such a one. It's deep. I recommend everybody go to or find it. BenandJerry's.com, I guess. I don't know. Go find it.
I'll throw the link in the chat right now, and I'll put the link in the comments. The description?
But like
time codes.
The
place where I
put in
notes.
The time codes. There it is. Boom. There you go. But it's one of those things where they made a whole blog post, and it's a little bit long, but I think all of it points in the right direction of what we're getting at. With everything that's going on right now and what the protests are, right? Like, are you okay over there, Kevin? Did somebody die?
Is your Roomba acting up?
Everyone's fine. Somebody may have spilled milk, but nobody's crying about it, so it's fine.
That's perfect.
Real quick, this Ben and Jerry's thing. It's the first thing I've seen that has like, hey, these are the things that need change. This is what we're throwing out as an option. And that is so impressive. Because, and it's like, fuck, I can stand behind these. Like, these four things that they're throwing out there, like, we should figure out a way to unify and push for these. And if anyone wants to throw a fifth or sixth thing in there, that's fine. But all I'm saying is, like, it's cool that, like, here are points, and, like, fuck, those make a lot of goddamn sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, here are the steps to take to remedy everything we're going through right now. And they expressed it boldly. They weren't afraid to, like, they didn't want to beat around the bush in that statement at all. They were direct as far as saying, like, yo, white supremacy is a problem and it fucking sucks. And it is affecting policing in this country, and we need to put a stop to it. And the steps that they laid out in their statement, I think speak to very practical ways in which we can be involved. And also I don't want to spoil the whole Kind of Funny podcast, but you know, there are quite a few people out there that are putting out like very, well articulated, very specific things that we can do to make things better in this country. And those are you can seek that out, right? It's not hard to find those. Those aren't like lying under rocks. There are ways to find those resources to help you figure out what exactly are the steps that I can take individually to make a change. And so, there you go.
And I think it is, you know, like you're saying, this is a one-on-one thing, baby. This is not, ain't nothing gonna be solved by a blog post. Ain't nothing gonna be solved by a song. Nothing could be solved even by a law. You know what I'm saying? This is like kneecap to kneecap, eyeball to eyeball conversations. And this is not a shot in the arm. You know what I mean? It's not like how Corona is going to, you know, go away. We can find a vaccine and vaccinate everybody from their racism. You know what I'm saying? That's not how it's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? It's the long play, baby. But I think, I love the way Ben and Jerry's laid it out here.
Now it is time to squad up. Blake writes in with a squad up on Xbox/PC and says, ahoy. With the release of Sea of Thieves on Steam today, I'm putting out a call to any Kind of Funny Sea Dogs that would like to give it a try. I've been playing for a few months, and it has quickly become one of my favorites. I'd love to share what I know to help you on your way, or team up for a high seas adventure. Find me through Xbox, Bear73TX, or on Discord, Bear73TX, with the hashtag symbol, I guess, 8304. I know it's called pound, but hashtag more people know that at this point. But yeah, again, Discord, Bear73TX, hashtag 8304. Now it's time for one of them rotating segments. This time around, we have two rotating segments. I'm going to start with the first one. Gabe, a thing that I've been asking every guest this week that I've had on the show is to give a shout out. Is there a black voice in the industry that you'd like to give a shout out on this episode? And it could be the gaming industry, or it could be your specific industry, because I know you work in music specifically. But is there somebody you would like to give a shout out who's a black voice?
Yeah, man. I'm going to do a couple. I don't have as long a list as your boy yesterday. But like just a little bit from just our Married to the Games family. We got our boy Devin Tyus at That Ninja Dev over at the PSVG family. Delvin Cox from the Delvin Cox Experience at Delvin_Cox. My boy Lim Phil Yaw, he is heading up a thing called the Gametographers. They focus on taking pictures in game. It's really, really cool. He squatted up with some people over at Gametographers. And then these people don't know me, but I've been watching them for a little while. Black Girl Gamers over at Black Girl Gamers. It's really cool to watch them just from their perspective. I think that every conversation needs to have women's voices. And I think black girls sometimes get really overlooked when it comes to a lot of things. And gaming's one of them. So I love that Black Girl Gamers are over there representing hard.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. The second rotating segment I want to rotate into this episode is required reading. Of course, you know, every now and then there's a good article that's put out there that I think everybody needs to go out there and read. I want to highlight this this article from Jason Schreier at Bloomberg. Jason Schreier, of course, put in the good work. The name of the article is Game Publisher Cancels Contract with Developer, Then Tries to Poach Its Entire Team. Again, this is at Bloomberg. And this is one of those ones where I wanted to include it as a news story, but it runs so deep and we only have so much time to prep before the show that I wasn't able to get it in or condense it in a way that would have made sense for the Roper Report. But essentially, the story goes into how 3 months after losing a deal with 2K, or not 2K, with Take-Two, Star Theory Games went out of business. And just to read the first paragraph of the article as a snippet, so you know what you're getting into, right? The article reads in the first paragraph, "One Friday evening last December, employees of game designer Star Theory Games each received the same unusual recruitment message over LinkedIn. It struck them as bizarre for two reasons. One, it came from an executive producer at the publishing company funding their next video game. Two, it said the game in the works for the previous 2 years was being pulled from their studio." It then goes on to talk about how Star Theory Games, which I believe is Kerbal Space Program, kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong if I got that mistaken, but I believe that's their game, and how like things kind of went up in fire with that between them and Take-Two. And so again, that's on Bloomberg. Jason Schreier, of course, putting in the good work. Check that out. Yeah. That is your required reading for today.
There you go.
Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Rewrite in. Let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong. Let's see. Daniel Ball just writes in and says, "The price of the micro game gear in yen equals $45. That's $45 each for four classic Sega games on a tiny screen. And then, the magnifying glass would be $50 as well. But yeah, I believe I said earlier in the episode that, if you want to get all four, like basically the whole package, right? The four different colors and the magnifying glass, which is ridiculous. that's $250 basically. So yeah, when you break it down, that's how that goes.
I like that $250 and say that they say they're throwing in the magnifying glass. Like, hey, bro. If I'm paying $250, you need to throw in the magnifying glass regardless. Yeah. The screen is tiny. Come on, baby.
Jeff Grubb, the homie, of course, who I believe even like brought up this episode because we looked at his Twitter for the images of the second micro. He writes in to You're Wrong and says, "Here's Fog Gaming details from a Japanese news site via Circan Toto. Yes, Fog Gaming is the scoop. Sega will use arcades in Japan as the technical backbone. CPUs and GPUs housed in arcade machines are mentioned specifically. Ultra low latency is touted. Commercial idea to use arcades outside business hours. And I guess this is, yeah, a cloud gaming thing. So that is like the big news that is coming from Sega.
There you go.
Let's see here. Going through. See some more. I'm looking for actual your wrongs. Nailbot just writes in and says Star Theory's game is Kerbal Space Program 2. Thank you for that clarification. Because it escaped me in the moment. That's it for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tomorrow's hosts are me and WWE
Xavier
Woods. Yes. Tune in, get hype. Get excited. The commish is back and he's here. And I'm sure he has some words. I'm sure he has some things to say. He's going to be here to lay down the law. And also tomorrow, you're going to get, if you're a patron to Kind of Funny Games, the post show will feature, as of now, tentatively, will feature Greg and Xavier Woods, because I got to dip right after Kind of Funny Games Daily tomorrow. And so for the post show, look forward to that. That's going to be Greg and Xavier Woods. Before we sign off, Gabe, again, first of all, thanks for coming through. It's awesome
thanks
to have you, always.
Me. My gosh.
Of course.
I'm honored.
And remind people where they can find your stuff.
Oh, man. MarriedToTheGames.com. Just go everywhere. MTTGcast on Twitter. I mean, we're all over the place. You know how we do nowadays?
Facebook, dude, Twitter, I know exactly Instagram. How you do, man.
Come on. We're all over the place.
Check them out. And, of course, this... has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.
Pound it!
Oh, yeah. Yo, what's up? Welcome to the Kind of Funny Games Daily post show. Of course, this is June 3rd, 2020. I'm Blessing Anyway Jr. Joining me is Gabe Patillo, but you already know that because you watched the episode. Gabe, first of all, how are you doing right now, man? It's really hot in my room. That's how I'm doing. Because I have a space heater on for some reason.
Why are you doing that? Hold on. You don't need a space heater on. Come on, baby. It's summertime.
Bless. It's like cold. It's 75 degrees in like the Bay Area right now.
When I woke up, it was cold. And I was like, I just need my room to warm up a little bit.
When did
and
you wake up? At like 4 in the morning?
I woke up at like 6:30 because I didn't have good sleep last night. But like it was one of those ones where I was like, I'm gonna turn it on just when I go take my shower. So when I come back, the room's just like a decent temperature. Yeah, and I forgot to cut it off. And toward the end of Games Daily, I was like, wow, I'm really sweating. Man, this is really getting to me. And I was like, my space heater's on.
I saw you take your jacket off during the show. I was like,
yeah, I took it off real quick. Dude, it's been super hot in here. So having a space heater is not helping.
Exactly. Speaking of super hot, I got my kids playing super hot on VR every now and then.
Oh, really?
They love it. Now, I'm not, promoting kids in VR because I know they're not supposed to play until they're 12. So I might be telling on myself. But every now and then, because they watch somebody on YouTube play it or something like that, they were like, we want to try super hot. Have you ever heard of that? I was like, have I ever heard of it? I'm your father. Awesome. Yeah, of course I've heard of it. So I get him this is super hot every now and then. So it's funny watching my 5-year-old about to run into a wall trying to dodge a knife or something.
Which VR are you rocking with?
I'm rocking with both. So I rock the PSVR, which you see in the background on video. And nice. Then I've got the my Oculus Quest is inside.
Oh, so you got the Quest?
Yes.
Yeah, dude. I recently got the Quest and that thing slaps. I booted up super hot VR the other day, and like, man, it's so good. It's so good.
It's so good. Here's the problem with VR. It's the coolest I've ever felt playing a game, knowing that I look ridiculous to everyone else.
Yes.
But in the game, I'm like, I feel like I'm Neo in that thing.
Dude, I was just talking about that on I was on Podcast Beyond, and I don't know if the episode's up yet. But we were talking about PSVR and we were talking about Beat Saber specifically, because Beat Saber is that game for me where as you're playing Beat Saber, you feel like the coolest person in the world. Dude. You feel like the dopest of all time.
You can't look at a video of yourself.
Exactly. Like, you can't tell me nothing, man. Yeah. But you look at yourself and you see a video, because I when I was with OK Beast, I tried to do like a Patreon exclusive Let's Play for them.
Yeah.
With me playing Beat Saber, because I love Beat Saber, and yeah, it was one of those things where I was like, as I was doing, I was like, oh, I'm killing it right now, man. I'm getting all these combos, and then I went back and watched the video, and I was like, oh, I look like an idiot. I look like a fool. There's no possible way to look cool while playing Beat Saber. Unless you're one of those YouTubers that like has the setup where you are in the game.
Yeah, with the you have yes, like that's the only
that's
way.
That's like the only way to look cool.
Only way. You know what's funny about it too is like playing it on the Quest. There's not a great way, in my opinion, to get the Quest on the TV. And you're really the only one having the experience with the sound. So the coolest you can look, I feel like, is playing it on PSVR or something where the TV can be on and the speakers are just blaring because the songs are so good. Yeah. And then everybody can kind of be enjoying it with you. But other than that, you're going to look like an idiot.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where, like, I take pride in my Beat Saber skill. I take pride in how good I am in that game. Like, I went and I perfected, like, when they released the Timbaland pack for the game.
Yes.
I went and I played through all of them on, I want to say expert first. And like, one of them, I hit a perfect on my first run. And over those things where I was like, yeah, I sat back and I was like, I'm dope. Like,
that's like, hey, ain't that like when you're at the gas station and you hit that thing right on the double zeros, you're like, boom, $40. Yeah. Whoa. And you look around, but nobody's seen it. You're like, I landed right on $40. Why is nobody impressed?
Where's my prize?
Like, is somebody gonna come out? Like, where's Bob Barker? Bob Barker is the Price is Right guy, right? Like, where is he?
Yeah, where's the ring girl that's supposed to come out and hand me my prize? Like, hey, you won this blue ribbon for landing right on the double zero.
Exactly. But I can never, like, at a party where there's Beat Saber, like, I can't come out and be like,
don't do that. Yo, don't do it.
Dude, y'all, just check me out real quick and come through and hit a perfect. Like, even if I hit a perfect on expert, it's still not cool. Like, that's the thing that sucks. Cool. It's still not dope.
And you know what that was for me growing up? Because you were a lot younger than me. But what that was for me coming up was DDR Max.
Yep.
See, I was a DDR kid. I loved Dance Dance Revolution. But you can't go to the arcade with your friends that don't really play video games and impress them on DDR. You just go look like an idiot.
No, dude, as soon as your hands grab the bar that's behind you, it's over. Like, there's no way to look cool when you're grabbing the bars behind you. And you're doing, like, what looks like an Irish river dance. Like, no, it's not working.
It's not going to happen. And, you know, me and you as black folks, man, you know, we lose all kind of credibility when you freaking ace a DDR Max game. Unless you know somebody who's really down.
I can't play DDR in public for that reason. It's tragic.
Exactly. I had the math at the crib.
Did you really?
Invite people over. Yeah, man, on the PS2, maybe?
That sounds about right.
Oh.
Yeah. Were you ever like the arcade person? Like, did you ever go to the arcades to play DDR and ever like be that person that people would gather around and watch as they're going off?
The only time I would do that, I was on this tour called Festival Con Dios. And when we were traveling around, where we would set up is mall parking lots. And so it was like a festival in the middle of a mall parking lot. And so, and that was 17 years ago. And so that's back when arcades were still on and popping. And so we would go into the arcade and if I had some ladies with me, they was like, hey, you want to play some DDR? You're like, yeah, you play with the ladies. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
But
of course.
But that was the most in public DDR I would ever play.
I get it, man. Like, I understand. It's one of those things where I remember being in college. Like, that was like the pop off point for people. Like, for in our campus union downstairs, right? And this is the Illini Union. For people who might be listening and go to the University of Illinois, downstairs there's like a bowling alley, and then they have like a couple of DDR machines, and then this pool and all that stuff.
Yep,
but I remember playing pool. And like, because me and my friends would go there all the time to play pool, because that's like, that was like our addiction for a while, and that was like the only thing to do in Champaign, Illinois. But I just remember like the whole time while playing pool, hearing the stomps, right? Hearing like the like going on from the other side of the room, and I'm like,
purple,
man,
arrows.
I like, me personally, as somebody who enjoys video games and as somebody who like who loves that stuff, I'm like, man, I got so much respect for y'all. Like, y'all are killing it. Y'all are out here living your best lives in public and not giving a not caring at all. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Shout out to y'all.
Yeah, the guys with the freaking sweatbands on their heads and wrists, and they were just ready. They came in to do that with their short shorts and their, you know, Reeboks on. I was joking about to get it.
Have you rocked a sweatband yet playing Beat Saber? Because I've had to do that. Like, I've reached the point where it's like, all right, it's time. Like, my like PS4 is getting disgusting.
I think part of the fight is getting that salt in your eyes and still being able to pull it off. You're doing it with one eye open.
It especially sucks when you have glasses, too. Like, there's so much going on underneath that PSVR headset. where it is like me with the glasses, with the headband, just sweating profusely alone in my room. And I have the lights off in my room just so that the PSVR camera can detect the controllers better. And so like, I just look, I know for a fact, if anybody walks into my room at that moment, I look like the biggest fool of all time.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's great. It's red.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. I just, the picture of you with the headband and the glasses and sweat glasses just dripping off your body.
Yeah, it's just like sweat like peering beneath the headset, like just falling through.
I want to picture that. I want to just imagine that you're only in your boxers as well, and that's what makes it even more amazing.
I am somebody shirtless. Just walked in. I'm shirtless during off.
Of course you are.
I am sure. I'm very shirtless during all this. Yeah. But I do have on my sweatpants, probably.
And you're singing along. You're like, I'm a living legend. And
exactly. That song's no shirt because that's the hardest slap in that game. Exactly. I am a legend.
I love that. Oh, God. Everybody, just go with me and envision Blessing in his room with freaking 3 gold chains on for some strange reason. Beat Saber in the dark with a headband on. No shirt. Looking like Flava Flav.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the greatest Kind of Funny Games Daily Post show for today, June 3rd, 2020. I've been Blessing. That's been Gabe Patillo. Go over, follow Married to the Games, MTTG Cast on Twitter. Show them love, listen to the show, all that good stuff. They're great. Thanks again for joining me, Gabe. This is really good. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.